Hope. Now, this is my last message of this series, all right? Just to let you know, we'll move on next week. But as for today, we're going to talk about hope. Hope. How many of you know what hope is? How many of you remember what hope is? I'm going to help you. Charlie Riley Amplified Bible, all right? Soon available in bookstores at some point in time. I don't know when. All right, but here it is. Here's what I believe hope is. And not only that, I told you how I got this definition in the last couple messages, but this is what the Bible's definition of hope really is. When the Bible says, you know, hope, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, that's not in the Bible, that's a hymn. Whenever we talk about our hope is in Christ, here's what we're talking about, okay? We're talking about a certain, come on, help me out, strong, confident expectation of good. How many of you know we should have hope in our lives? Matter of fact, the Bible tells us this. Check this out, 1 Peter 3, it says this, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts and always be ready to give an offense to everyone who asks, let's try this all over again. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope. There it is. Praise God. I would get there eventually. For the hope that is what? In you. You need to have a defense for the hope that is in you. You need to have a reason for your hope. And remember, we're not talking about, you know, I'm going to go sit in a deer stand and I hope I get a deer. I know some of you are like, listen, would you rather have them in the grill or on the grill? You'll get that later. But our hope is not like that kind of a hope. Or like, I hope it doesn't rain, you know. I hope it doesn't this, I hope it doesn't. No. Our hope, the Bible says, is a certain, strong, confident expectation of good. I'm wearing you out with it, man. Yeah, I'm wearing you out with it. Because this is how we should feel about God. This is how God feels about us. When we talk about having our hope in Christ, we have a certain, strong, confident expectation of good. But can I tell you, not everything in life sometimes feels like there's hope. I don't know about you. There's a lot of times whenever it's like, man, is there any hope? Is there any hope? And speaking of which, I can't think of a more hopeless situation, though, in life than dealing with death and the passing of someone. How many of y'all would agree with that? I mean, I've been to enough funerals and done enough funerals that I can tell you one of the most hopeless things that I find myself in is a funeral. You know, your heart goes out to the family, your heart goes out to everybody, you know, and you really just feel like there's no hope. There is really no hope. But I'm here to tell you that the gospel we preach always provides us hope. Always provides us hope. See, the truth of the matter is, none of us are going to live forever. How many of you believe that? Now, I don't know about your belief system, but I'm believing for the rapture in my lifetime. All right? How many of y'all believe in? How many of y'all are not, because you're not raising your hand? All right? How many of you are not participating no matter what I do? Okay. Somebody raises their hand. All right, anyway. Hey, listen, here's the reality. The reality is we can look at our life and say, you know what? Time is running short. My life is getting shorter. And I'm convinced that the longer I live, the faster the years go. And the faster time speeds up. And it seems like a blink of an eye ago, I was 18 years old. Two blinks ago, I was like 15. You know, three blinks ago, I was like, well, I was five. But I don't even remember. But anyway, you get what I'm saying. Life is fast, man. And when you look at your future, sometimes we can have a tendency to look at death as the ultimate thing and look like, man, my goodness, I'm going to live my whole life and then I'm going to die? What? There's no hope. There's no hope. And I know some of you are like, no, Pastor Charlie, I got life all figured out. Why? I'm going to live forever. At least I'm going to live to be real old. Why? Because I eat organic. I eat organic too. Cows, they're organic. They eat grass. I eat cows. Do I have any other organic people like me? Hey, here's my theory on it. If I can catch it and kill it, fry it and barbecue it, we can eat it. My house, praise God. See, here's the truth. No matter what in life, here's what you need to know. He who lives the longest dies the slowest. Seems like a pretty obvious statement, but in that statement, you can see almost like there's a lack of hope. There's a lack of hope. But the truth of the matter is, our hope, this whole series that we've been talking about, we've been talking about hope on the inside of you and how we should always have hope in each and every day of our life. No matter what the situation is, we should have hope. But what happens when life doesn't work out the way you think it should? What happens when you prayed for a family member and they died? What happens when maybe you felt like you did everything right and you still got the bad result? What do you do with that? What do you do? Well, you got a couple choices. You could give up. I would not suggest that. But my suggestion would be that you would place your hope in God, but place it in another place. You should place your hope in heaven. Place your hope in heaven. Because here's the truth. Not everything in life is going to work out perfect every time. How many of y'all figured that out? All right? We have this conversation with our kids all the time. Life's not fair. That's not fair. Right. We're training you for life. Can I get a parent to say amen to that? That's right. That's right. See, listen, here's the truth. Our real hope is heaven. Our real hope is heaven. Do not set your eyes on this planet and think all of your hope belongs here. Because the truth of the matter is, governments will fail. People will fail. Things will fail. People will disappoint you. Circumstances will disappoint you. And now, this isn't a doom and gloom message, but things sometimes don't work out the best way. I've been a part of people's lives long enough to know, I look at some people's lives and I'm like, I don't know why, man. I don't know why. But here's what I do know. You may not prosper in everything you do, although I believe the Bible says that you will. But if you don't, know that your hope is in heaven. Your body may not get healed. I believe God is a healer and he will heal. But if it doesn't, know that your real hope is in heaven. Right? Your loved one may pass away. We hope they don't, and we'll pray for them until they're resurrected. But you know what? The truth of the matter is, if they do pass away, your hope is in heaven, right? Everything in your world may not work out right. I get it, man. See, but your real hope, my goodness, it's in heaven, praise God. That's where your real hope is. So don't get so wound up about what may or may not go your way on this planet, because there is a day coming very, very soon, faster than a blink of an eye, that you will be in heaven. And when you get there, all the books will be settled, every score will be settled, and God will make right every wrong, I promise you, because your hope is in heaven, praise God. Amen? So you don't worry about it. You don't worry about it. Don't worry about how it all works out. But before I even get into the real meat of my message, I want you to know this, that death was never a part of, because how many of y'all know, but if you're ever going to get to heaven, you're going to have to go there by way of rapture or by death? That's the only way you're going. I remember when I was a kid watching TV one time, some of you may remember this, that Houdini promised he'd come back on a certain day, and they had it on TV. Anybody remember that? I watched it. I was like, is he going to come back? I don't know how old I was, but I was a teenager, I'm pretty sure. And I remember watching it and thinking, I wonder if he's going to come back. I wonder if he escapes heaven or hell. Well, guess what? Homeboy didn't come back. There's only been one person come back from the dead, praise God, and tell us all about it. And he conquered death, hell, and the grave and came back to tell us we can have victory over it also. Amen? Who are you talking about? I'm talking about Jesus, y'all. Talking about Jesus, all right? See, here's the deal about death, though. Know this, death is always an enemy of God. Come on, everybody say, death is not God's friend. See, check this out. Death was never God's plan. God knew it would happen, but understand this, that God didn't choose death for us. How many of you all know Adam and Eve chose death for us? Yeah, absolutely. Matter of fact, Eve found the tree. We haven't taken up the offering yet, so I got to be careful. Because I know the women write the checks, all right? I'm not stupid. All right? But here's all I'm going to say. Here's all I'm going to say about this. You ready? Have you ever met a dude that can find anything? Have you ever known one? Most dudes, let me just say it this way. At my house, don't ask me where anything is at. If it's not on the counter in plain view, I'm not moving nothing. It ain't there. Michelle is the finder of all things in our house. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I'm sure God said, hey, Adam, stay away from that tree. Adam done forgot where the tree was. He couldn't find that tree to save his life. Eve was the one that went, hey, Adam, it's over here. You should have moved the trees. It was right here. I'm going to stop right there, but y'all know what I'm saying without saying it. All right? Death has never been a friend. It has never been a friend. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that death is actually part of the victory that Jesus displays in the earth, is defeating death, praise God. I love 1 Corinthians 15. It says this, now I say, brethren, everybody look at me, death will have a funeral. Death will have a funeral. There is a day coming where death will cease to exist. Oh, man. Check this out. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. Now, I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. In other words, pass away. But we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trump of God will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal put on immortality. So when the corruptible has put on incorruption, and the mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death has been swallowed up in victory. Let me explain to you what the scripture's saying, all right? What the Bible is clearly teaching is that there is a day coming where a group of people will be on the earth. We will be on the earth living, and those people will be caught up into the air. But right instantly before those people, every saint that has ever lived is still waiting in heaven for their glorified body. And there's a day coming when they will leave heaven. Jesus will catch them up above the earth. Those that are on the earth that are believers will be caught up together with them to meet them in the air. And then our corruptible fleshly houses that we live in will cease to be needed, because then we will receive glorified, resurrected, powerful bodies. And we will be caught up to meet the Lord into the air. And then the Bible says, then death will have no more power over us, and death will be swallowed up in victory, and Jesus will have conquered death for the very last time, praise God. Amen. Amen. So that's where our hope is placed. That's where our hope is placed. Know that death is always an enemy of God. It bothers me when people say, well, you know, the Lord, you know, uses death. No, the Lord doesn't use death. Man chose death. The only way God uses death is he ran Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden after they ate the fruit as an act of mercy. There was a tree in the garden called the Tree of Life. Had they taken of that tree in a sinful state, they would have lived forever in a fallen state, separated from God. God didn't want that. He wanted to rescue them. The only way he could do that was to run them out of the garden and then provide a Savior named Jesus so he could rescue them. How powerful is that? Everything God does, he does as an act of mercy, as an act of love for us. Even running Adam and Eve out of the garden. Praise God. Look at this. Here's the truth. You ready? You will live forever. You will live forever. Let me ask you a question. How old are you? How old are you? Can I tell you the truth? I feel 18 years old. I'm talking to you. I don't care how old you are, I still feel 18 years old. I feel 18 years old. I'm still cool. I'm convinced. I am cool. I know what cool is, all right? We invented cool. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm 18 years old. Now, here's the deal. But my body, how many of you know your body don't always feel 18? Oh, no. Okay, I know, you're like me. I'm still 18 on the inside. And my body is not too much further beyond 18. And I'm not, and I really don't realize it until I try and do something that I was doing when I was 18. That I realize, okay, maybe I'm not 18. But I will make a fool out of myself trying to look 18. And you ask, why or how do you know you made a fool of yourself? Because I have kids who are that age who tell me how foolish I look. Come on, can I get a witness in here? But here's the truth. You ready? You ready? The Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says this. He has hidden eternity in our heart. Say, what's that mean, Pastor Charlie? Here's what I'm saying. Truthfully, the reason you still feel 18 is because you are a spirit. You're a spirit being. And you feel 18 on the inside because in the spirit, you aren't aged. Your physical body is aging, but on the inside, your spirit, the Bible says, is being renewed day by day. So it's okay to feel 18, praise God. It's all right. It's all right. Just don't dress and act like 18-year-old. Because you know as well as I do, you should have more wisdom than an 18-year-old. Amen? Amen? You're young on the inside. See, the truth is, you will live forever. You should feel that on the inside. You feel on the inside like, man, why is time speeding up? Why is time passing? Why is it going so fast? Why can't we just slow it down? Because you know in your heart you're going to live forever. And the question becomes, where are you going to live forever? See, for the believer, man, my goodness, it gets better and better. For the unbeliever, it doesn't. It doesn't. Have you guys ever seen foreign countries who do not serve the God of the Bible? Have you ever seen a funeral service for those religions? People weep and wail and they scream and holler and they look like they're having a fit. You want to know why? In their world, they have no hope. You want to know why? Because they have no Jesus. The very God they reject is the God of hope. And because they're at a funeral, they know that that is the last time they're ever going to see their loved one. Why? They have no hope because they have no Jesus. For the believer, very different. For the believer, you know, my goodness, this isn't a problem. Oh, it hurts that you lose a loved one. But you know that you haven't lost all hope because there's a place called heaven, praise God, that we'll all go there, right? Now, I love what the Bible says. Jesus taught a little bit about heaven, and he taught a little about hell in one particular verse in the Bible, one particular set of verses, and I want to read it for you and kind of teach through it. Check this out. This is Luke chapter 16, verse 19. It says, there was a certain man. Now, everybody look at me, and let me explain something to you. When it comes to the Bible, whenever you see Jesus saying, there was a certain man, that means it is an absolute true story. Okay? If it says, there was a sower who went and sowed seed, Matthew 13. Okay, that doesn't necessarily mean there was a person who did that. He's just speaking about it in general. But if he says, there was a certain man, then you can take your money to the bank that there was a dude that did this, all right? So here we go. There was a certain man who was rich and was clothed with purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who laid at his gate, desiring to be fed by the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Now, doesn't that bless you? That is nasty. All right. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by what? Angels. I love that. I love that. I love that. See, for the believer, at your last breath here, God starts helping you. God, make sure, man, you get there, because you ain't asking for directions. He's going to send an angel to help you get to heaven, praise God. Hey, believers, check this out. We get to go to heaven, and we're escorted by angels to make sure we get there. You don't sweat death. Death has been defeated. Jesus has conquered it. Come on, amen? Amen. Amen. Look at this. He says, And so it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. Now, everybody look at me, and I want to explain something to you real quick. I don't want to go into great detail, but I'm going to give you a little bit. All right, check this out. Under the old covenant, before Jesus resurrected, before Jesus resurrected, underneath the earth, there were two, if you want to call it, holding places, all right? One was called Sheol or Hades, hell, what we would call hell. And the other side was called paradise or Abraham's bosom. Everybody get that? Under the earth, two holding cells, okay? Abraham's bosom or paradise and hell, okay? In between those was a great gulf, the Bible says. I don't really know what it was. It just says a great gulf, all right? And now watch. Jesus, when saints of old died, they went to that place under the earth and were held there. They were held there until Jesus would shed his blood and then go to heaven. Once Jesus shed his blood, he paved the way for every born-again believer to go to heaven and to take those saints that were under the earth to heaven with him. Does everybody get that? All right? So all of underneath the earth now is empty, except for hell. Hell is underneath the earth, the Bible says. All right? Hell is underneath the earth. And it's been expanded. So get this. Before Jesus came and died on the cross, underneath the earth, two holding cells separated by a great gulf. One side's paradise where people are comforted. One side is torment. All right? After Jesus died, the place was expanded. Everything that was under the earth is now hell. All the saints went to heaven. And we'll talk about heaven here in just a minute. But all the saints went to heaven. Everybody get that? So now to die under the new covenant, when you die, your last breath here is your first breath either under the earth in hell or in heaven. Amen? Everybody get that? Okay, I want to explain that verse right there. All right, let's look at it one more time. So it was that when the beggar died, he was carried away from by the angels to Abraham's bosom. That's under the earth. And the rich man also died and was what? Buried. Let's look at it. And being in torments in Hades. Well, me and my buddies, we're going to go to hell and have a party. No, you ain't running nothing. It ain't a party. It's torment. He lifted up his eyes and he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And then he cried out and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water, that he may cool my tongue, for I am in this torment in flames. How many of you know this is the description of hell? A life without Jesus at the end is death. And a death without Jesus is a death with no hope. It's a death with no hope. You're in torture. You're in torment. And I know, save me the spill of the books that are out there, preachers preaching, there is no hell. Listen, there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, regardless of people like it or not. Jesus spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. How about this? He went on. But Abraham said, son, remember in your... Everybody look at me. When you pass away, when you die, when you go home to be with the Lord, when you go to heaven, or when you go to hell, you will remember your lifetime. You will remember your life. You will remember everything you did. You'll remember everything you did. Everything. Watch this. Remember in your lifetime how you received the good things and likewise Lazarus, the evil things. But now he is comforted and you are in torment. And besides this, between us, there is a great gulf that is fixed. So those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can they from there pass to us. Everybody look at me. People have asked me in the past, Pastor Charlie, is there a chance after you die that you could go to hell for a temporary time and then be rescued out of it? That's called the type of religious thinking that is. It's called universalism. It means eventually everyone will be saved. Can I tell you, that is not biblical. That is not biblical. Everyone will not be saved. Your life is your chance to be saved. Let me say it again. Your life is your chance to be saved. To live a life and then die without Christ put you in a place called hell, and it put you in a place with no hope. Contrast that to the believer. Contrast that to this man. Look at this. And he says, so he cannot pass. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, and that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Then he said, no, Father Abraham. But if one goes back to them from the dead, they will repent. How many of you believe that? The answer is no. Watch. But he said to them, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded through one who rises from the dead. Say, Pastor Charlie, do you believe that? I believe it with all my heart. Why do I believe that? Here's why. There was a man, historical fact, who lived 2,000 years ago. Nobody's debating that there was a man named Jesus 2,000 years ago that lived. Even people who did not believe Jesus was the Son of God wrote down as scribes who did not believe, but wrote down there was a man named Jesus who lived, who did wonders and works that only God could do, and after 3 days and three nights rose up from the dead. And he told him he was the Son of God. And he told him the miracles. He told him he would die and be in the grave 3 days and three nights. He told them all those things. And yet still we have a portion of the population that still don't believe the one who resurrected himself, that he came to save them from their sins. And yet they still don't believe. So I believe exactly what the scripture says, that even if one rises from the dead and tells them you need a relationship with God, that they still won't turn their heart. I truly believe that. How many of you know Jesus could have got up off of the cross, walked right smack down in Jerusalem Boulevard, and said, I told you I was the Son of God, and I just defeated the cross, and yet they still wouldn't believe him. How do we know that? We know it because he did it. After 3 days and three nights, showed himself completely alive, and yet still people don't believe. So you can't say, well, if one comes back from the dead and tells them about this place called hell and tells them about heaven and tells them about all those things, they'll turn from their wicked ways. No, they won't. They have the Word of God and they have the prophets of God. They have preachers and teachers all over the place telling people about salvation only through Jesus, and yet still people don't. Isn't that powerful? Man, see, that's a life with no hope to me. If you enter eternity without Jesus, that's that. Talk about a hopeless situation. That's a hopeless situation. Amen? But how many of you know that isn't the place for the believer? How many of you know hell was not created for us? I don't qualify. Hey, how many of you know that hell was created for the devil and his angels? Not even for man. We were created for heaven. We were created for eternity. We were created as people of hope, praise God. That even as sin-sick and sin-filled as this earth is, that our hope is not on this planet. Our hope is in heaven, praise God. Amen? Let me tell you a little bit about heaven, because let me tell you, it's an awesome place. You should see my crib. It's awesome. It's awesome, awesome, awesome. Tell you a little bit about heaven, all right? Number one, you got to know, it is a real place. It's real. It's real. It's real. It is real. It is more real than the earth. Yes. Pastor Charlie, how can you get that? Here we go. You want it? Watch me. Here it is. The Bible says, things which are seen were made from the unseen realm. I know what you're thinking. Well, you're not completing the thought. Hey, check this out. If you say that everything that's made started over there, and without over there, this couldn't be, guess which one came first? That one. Guess which one must be the real one? That one. People have had a hard time wrapping their minds around this, but let me give you the best illustration I can. I was trying to think, how can I explain it to where everybody can grab it? And I don't know as if this is the best, but it's the best one that I could come up with. All right? Here's my thought. It's like a car. It's like a car, okay? You exist outside the car. You got me? You exist outside the car. When you hop in the car, you drive the car. Let's say you get the car when it's brand new, and you're driving the car. You're driving the car. Eventually, the car's going to get old. The car's going to break down, right? And you're going to have to get out of the car to change your mode of transportation, right? And then you're going to have to walk, okay? It's the same way with you. Listen, you existed in God before you got to the earth and got a car called a body, okay? You're in a body. Some of you like your body. Some of you don't. Some of you think your car should be wider. Some should be skinnier. Some should be taller. Some should be shorter, right? Here's one undeniable fact. All of our cars are getting older. Amen? All right, now watch. And if you stay in your car long enough, it's going to get so old, it's going to break down. And then your car is going to kick you out. I told you it's the best I could do, all right? Just work with me on my analogy, all right? And your car's going to kick you out. And watch this. And then you'll be placed back into the place you came from, which is eternity. See, because you will wear your vessel out eventually if the rapture doesn't happen in your generation, in my generation. You will wear your vessel out. And you're going to get kicked out of your car. And you're going to be back into eternity. And this time, though, you're going to be booted out. But you're going to be booted on the other side where sin has no more power over you. Oh, the effects that were wearing on your car have no more power. You're not limited to the car's ability any longer, praise God. You are unlimited in your potential and your power. Yes. See, the truth is the car was just the vehicle you needed to make contact with the earth. That's all your body is. That's all your body is. In heaven, you won't have any of those limitations. None. Zero. No death. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about there's no death in heaven? None. Zero. How powerful is that? You can swim with the dolphins. Literally. You can swim to the bottom of the ocean. Well, the Bible says there's no oceans, but we'll talk about that later. But there's rivers. We know the river of God flows from the throne of God. Absolutely. Listen, heaven is real. It's a real place. Let me show you this. Isaiah 14, 13 says this. For you have said in your heart, this is God speaking about Satan. Now I want you to notice this. God speaking about Satan, and look what he says. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation and on the farthest sides of the north. I don't have time today, but it's very interesting. If you want to go look up something, look up biblical references to north and go and study science and what science knows about the northern sky. It's very, very cool stuff you can find out about that subject right there. But here's the bottom line. I personally believe heaven is to our north. I believe it's to our north. This last week, whenever I was, my buddy Roger Bates passed away, 63 years old. I'm there, and the next day I was taking a walk, and I told Michelle, I said, you know what? Roger went that way. Now, Michelle is completely north, south, east, west. Forget about it. But I said, he went that way. She goes, what's that mean? I said, heaven's north. Heaven's north. Heaven's north. And we know that from the Bible. I personally believe that heaven is a planet. I believe it's a planet. I believe it has a north. If it has a north, it has a south. If it has a north and a south, it has an east and a west. It's got to be a sphere. It's got to be a circle. In my understanding. If we get there and it's square, I'll be shocked. All right, but it's probably a round planet. Hey, we know that there are horses there. Jesus is coming back on a white horse. He's a Colts fan, I'm telling you. No doubt about it. He's a Colts fan. Right? Right? Come on, he didn't come back on no bear. Bears fan. Or lion, Detroit. Right? He definitely wasn't part of the Patriots crowd. They don't even have an animal. It takes five states to make a team or whatever. New England. All right, I'm done. I'm done. I'm moving on. See, there is hope in heaven. There is hope. No, here's the heaven is real though, guys. We know there are animals there. We know there are angelic beings there. We know that our people are there. We know our loved ones are there. We know that there are fruit trees that line the river. And get this, this is important. Every month a tree bears fruit. The Bible says for the healing of the nations. This is Revelation chapter 20. Every month a fruit tree is producing fruit. Y'all ain't picking it up, but I'm going to say it again. Every month, there's 12 months. Every month, there's a fruit tree producing fruit. Every month, there's a fruit tree producing fruit. That means it must be warm there. It must be warm there. You can't have fruit trees in cold weather. You got to have global warming. Took over heaven. Took over the place. I'm into it, man. I'm going to heaven with palm trees. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I believe it. Now, I know what you're thinking. You don't like snow. I believe snow is a part of the fall, and it's sent by the devil. All right? And so some of you, you're going to get to heaven, and you're going to be like, is there snow? There is. Up on the mountains, go have a ball. All right? You can have snow on the mountains, but as for the rest of us, we're going to live down there on, it's going to be nice. All right? Listen, heaven is a real place. Look at this, 2 Corinthians 12:2. I love this verse, and I'm going to try myself to contain myself in this. But let me just say this. In the last two services, the people didn't get it like I got it. I'm going to try my best to convey it, though, to you. You ready? Watch this. This is interesting. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. Okay, you can either read the Bible or you can read the Bible, okay? I can see if you don't know how hot your bath water is. I can see you don't know how long you have to sit in a deer stand for a deer to walk by. I can see, you don't know how long you have to work to get a raise. I can see you don't know how long you have to tithe before you get the increase. I can see that. But I don't hear people debating whether they were in their body or not. Do you find that odd? He's going, I was walking down the road and I was in the body. Well, maybe I wasn't. I may have not been in the body. Whether I was in the body or in the conversation, watch this. It's amazing to me. Christ was 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know. Whether out of the body, I do not know. Well, God knows. Well, that's obvious. Such one was caught up into the what? Third heaven. Now listen, those of you that may not know what he's talking about, there are three heavens, as the Bible declares it. The first heaven is called the terrestrial. It's from the earth to the clouds. That's called the first heaven in the Bible. The second heaven is from the top of the clouds through the galaxies. That's the second heaven. The third heaven is the celestial heaven where God's throne is and where God lives. It's where heaven is, okay? It's called the third heaven, okay? So this is a real place, and the Apostle Paul is saying, whether in the body, out of the body, I don't know, but I know this, I went to the third heaven. Now watch, I'll read this part. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. If you see it once in the Bible, it's important. If you see it twice, it is really stinking important. Here's what I find. The things that the Bible says blow me away. Here's what I think about this verse, especially when it comes to our hope in Christ. Paul is talking about, and most scholars would agree that he is the one who went to the third heaven. Okay? And what he says is, I was in my body, not sure. I may have been out of my body, but I may have been in it. Only God knows. How many of y'all know the gist of what he's saying? Okay, here's what's more important. It seems to me what he's saying is, we will be very comfortable and natural outside of our bodies because our bodies are not us. We are bigger than our bodies. Our bodies are simply holding who we are. It's our vessel. I'm going to go a step further. You ready? Your outward body is a physical thing to demonstrate who you really are. Say, Pastor Charlie, I need more. I'll give you some. Have you ever met someone and they don't know Jesus, they don't have any hope in their life, and you can see it on their countenance? They just look worn out. Am I hear what I'm saying? They give their heart to Christ. Suddenly, they change. Their whole countenance changes. Who they are physically changes. It's like, you know, you see those crime photos, like here they are normal, and here's what happens after they did a bunch of drugs. It's like, oh, wow. Can I tell you, here you are before Jesus, here you are after Jesus. Because God changes you from the inside out, and your outward disposition and everything about you changes on the outside. See, and my point in saying this is the fact that Paul felt really comfortable in or out of his body. Why? Because he knew he had eternal life in Christ. And our bodies are only made for contact in the earth. This body does not make you you. This is the vessel you live in. Come on. Y'all hear what I'm saying? All right, let's keep going. Check this out. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. It says, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Come on, here we go. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit for your labor. Yet I shall choose, I cannot tell. Which one I'm going to choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. How many of you know this is a man full of hope? He's like, hey, listen, y'all. Can I give you this in the Charlie Riley Amplified? Charlie Riley Amplified, you ready? It would say it this way. You guys are some knuckleheads, and I got to stay around here to keep you guys going in the right direction. But my real desire is to be in heaven, praise God, where my real hope is. That's really what he's saying. He's saying, I'm hard-pressed whether I want to stay here and be with you guys or whether I want to go to heaven. See, that's a man full of hope. He recognizes his hope is far beyond this life in this lifetime. Come on, amen? And that's where our hope needs to be. Listen, here's the truth. Heaven truly is our real home. It is really our real home. It really is. Look at this. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven. How many of you believe that? Our citizenship is in heaven. Heaven. When do we go there? Immediately. Our last breath here is our first breath there. How do I know? For we are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To be present with the Lord. What's that place like? What's that place like? I don't know. You want to go there? Listen, here's the contrast. Torment in Hades, all right? Heaven, no sickness, no grief, no despair, no aching bones or muscles. I was talking to a man who'd been married for many years. He's in my family, and I'll just leave it at that. Don't want to get him in trouble. We were talking one time about marriage, and he was complaining about his wife. And I said, hey, don't worry about it. Till death do you part. He goes, that's the promise I hold on to. I'm going to leave it right there. Come on, no despair. No achy bodies, no muscle problems. How about this? No failure, no crime, no ill intent, no loss. How about this? No time. No time. No honey-do list that has a time limit on it. Well, there's no marriage either. But anyway, I ain't even going there. But no separation. No separation. Never have to say bye to your kids ever again. Come on, how many of you got kids old enough that whenever they leave the house, maybe they drive, maybe they're in college, maybe they're doing their own thing in life, and every once in a while you'll get that glimpse of thought that, man, there's a day coming that I may not see them again. Come on, we all live with that sense of fear. We got to pray for our kids and enjoy our kids while they're with us. Amen? So listen, There's no more of that in heaven. There's just, I'll see you later. You better believe it. Come on, isn't that awesome? That is absolutely awesome. I love Revelation 21:5. Check this out. It says, "For I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first earth and the first heaven had passed away, and there are no more seas." Didn't say rivers. There will be fishing. All right. "Then I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem." I don't have time today, but listen to this. The New Jerusalem is 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles deep, and 1,500 miles tall. That's how big it is. Just that one city, the New Jerusalem. Most people believe there's arguments whether it's a square or a triangle. I personally believe it's a triangle. Triangles have a chief cornerstone. Jesus is referred to in the Bible as the chief cornerstone. All right? I think that the Pyramid of Giza, again, I don't have time, Pyramid of Giza was a replica of what was in heaven as the city of God. Pyramid of Giza. I got a whole teaching on that, but I'll spare you it today. And listen to this. He says, now the New Jerusalem coming down from heaven as God prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away," come on, "every tear in their eyes. There shall be no more death." No more death. "No more sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. For the former things have passed away." Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write the words of this, for they are" what? "True and faithful." Now, I did a little bit of word study on this to give you some meat kind of to anchor this. I want you to check this out. The word there, "I make all things new," in the Greek is pretty interesting. "I make" is poi, like that, whatever that word is. And it means present active indicative verb. Now, does that bless you? No, I didn't think so. All right, good. And the word "new" is, it just simply means to make brand new. Now, let me explain what I mean by present active indicative verb. Whenever you combine, in English, we have three tenses of a verb. What are they? Past, come on, present, and future. In the Greek language, there are seven tenses of a verb. All right, there are three moods and seven tenses. All right, those seven tenses give you an indication as to exactly what's going on in that verse. So now, what does that verse really say? Here's what it's really saying. It's saying this: when you combine the tenses into it, it means this. Everything, when Jesus said, "I make all things new," everybody look at me, check this out. Here's what he's not saying. "I made a new heaven and a new earth, and that's all there is to it." No, here's what he is saying. Current, right now, state of refreshed newness. So take that into the Charlie Riley Amplified. Every moment, every experience, everything will be refreshed and renewed continually. Every moment. Jesus is not saying, "I make it new, and there it is." He's saying every moment of every second of every day of every experience will be a fresh new experience, a fresh new life. Every moment of every time in eternity, you will have a fresh, energized body. It'll never get tired. Why? Jesus is making all things new. When? Continually. Trees will never wear out. They'll always be renewed continually. Your mind will never wear out. You'll be renewed continually. Your kids will never get on your nerves. Why? You'll be renewed. It'll be fresh. Every second of every moment, come on, you got to go with me. Your in-laws and outlaws, new, fresh, every moment. The things that wore on you on the earth are fresh and new. That's how heaven's going to be for eternity. I used to wonder, man, I don't know how you think, but this is the way I used to think about it. Man, when I get to heaven, I mean, eventually the newness is going to wear off, right? No. Every second of every moment of every breath will be new, fresh. It'll have a freshness to it. Every time you see Jesus, you'll see a fresh new Jesus. Fresh new Jesus. Every time we see each other, it'll be fresh and new to us. Come on, that's making all things new. Amen? Amen. Amen. See, for the saint, man, hope is in eternity. Hope is in heaven. For the non-believer, though, there is no hope. once you pass away without Christ. Look at this. I love what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20. It says, now death and Hades were cast into the what? Lake of fire. Jesus is going to whip them bad at the very end. He's going to snatch them up. He's going to throw them into death and Hades into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And anyone not found in the book of life will be cast into the what? Yeah. And this is the second death. The second death. Revelation 21:7. For he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. See, for the believer, there's nothing but hope when it comes to eternity. But for the non-believer, there's nothing but hopelessness and despair. Nothing but. Last thing. It is possible to be born twice and die once. But it's also possible to be born once and die twice. Which are you? Which are you? What do you mean by born twice? Well, you're born a natural birth, and then the Bible says you must be born again. You must have Jesus in your heart, all right? You must accept what he did on the cross 2,000 years ago for you. That's being born again. See, you're born natural, born again from above, and then you may die once, yes, but that's it. Never going to die spiritually. Or the flip side of that is you can be born once, never accept Jesus, die a natural death, and then in eternity you cannot accept him and then die a spiritual death, completely separated from God. Now, which one should you be? Number one. Should be number one. You should ask God to be a part of your life each and every day of your life. You should be born again. Why? Because there is no hope in eternity without Jesus. But there's nothing but hope if you're a child of God. Aren't you glad you're a child of God this morning? Amen. Give the Lord a clap.